This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Back here for the second hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. It's always seems like every year, maybe it's because the salary cap grows higher and we have younger GMs generally around the league who've gone playing Madden all their lives and they've had all these crazy ideas, maybe a little bit more percolating with higher level players and like Myles Garrett in this case, right? And what's going to happen with him? We're seeing these trades now in all these sports like this. Luka Doncic the other day, last week in the NBA, but a lot of things that you just don't be, you're not surprised about anymore. We have a lot of storylines going on in the NFL that we're all tracking right here in Buffalo. James Cook, we're talking about him right now. Now you have a couple in Cincinnati that are going on. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. Now you have another player in Cincinnati that's asking to be traded. Now we're also following what's happening in Kansas City. Travis Kelce, what's going to happen with him? His retirement possibility. Is that winding up going to happen? And of course, what challenges the Chiefs are going to face in the 2025 offseason. To joining me to talk about it right now on the Western Hotline is Pete Sweeney. Pete covers the Kansas City Chiefs over in Kansas City, and he's part of Arrowhead Pride and KSHB41. Thanks a lot for joining me here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Pete.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you know this, but I have roots, Cortland State undergrad. Whoa. And Syracuse graduate student, of course. So I'm like a lot of folks in the industry, so very familiar with Central New York and a place that is fond of my heart for sure. So great to join you guys.
Can I ask you when you were at Syracuse? Because I went to Syracuse.
So I went back to school. I was originally sport management at Cortland State, and then I went back for like an intensive grad program in 13, 14.
Okay, so I'm way older than you, I think, either way, but I was there in the early 90s, actually, at Syracuse, and then I actually, and then I was down in Florida for the first 16 years of my radio career and came back here in 2011, and I've been at WGR ever since. That's really great. Where did you grow up, actually?
Downstate in Long Island, and I, Before we get into the Chiefs stuff, which I know we can, I never get to fire this take off, but I'm ready for Billy Donovan or Mike Hopkins. Let me just say that.
All right, I love it, Mike. Oh man, we gotta have you on more often. I just had Brent Axe on. I don't know if you know Brent. He covers Syracuse basketball, Syracuse.com. Brent and I are good friends. I just had him on yesterday, and I said, look, I have been Pete for me. I grew up a hardcore Syracuse fan. Actually, my first year on campus was actually the year after they were the first two seed to ever lose to Richmond. My first year was after that. Yeah. But I remember, and I was at the 2003 National Championship game in New Orleans. It was one of the greatest nights ever as a sports fan. I was there, Carmelo Anthony. I was at the team hotel. It was great. But I will say, I've become apathetic about them. That's what bothers me more than anything, Pete. It's, I don't know. I love Red Autry, but it just seems like he's just not the man for the job.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe that I've been getting, as I talk with folks. I never really had a college basketball team until I went to the school there. There was a couple great years where they got to the Final Four, and then it became this expectation, you'll be a 12 or 13 seed, and we'll see what they do. They're dangerous. And, now it's just been you're used to maybe doing something else on Selection Sunday, and it's not a fun place to be. And I just wonder if you need a big name to get in there. But anyway, alas, big Syracuse.
Yeah, as we transition to Kansas City, I'll also say one of my schoolmates there, who I'm very good friends with, is in Kansas City, who you've been on with, Seren Petro. We're actually very good friends, Seren and I.
Oh, so yeah. I do his show weekly, and I was on yesterday, to talk about the offseason and such. So, yeah.
I saw that. That's actually how I found you. I actually was at Seren. I went to see what Seren was talking about, and I saw that you were on there, and I needed a Chiefs guest. I said, this guy sounds pretty good. I'll bring Pete Sweeney on. So I'm glad I did
that.
Thanks a lot for getting that to where we are now, because I'm glad that I brought you on, and I appreciate it. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the 2025 offseason. Before we do that, let's rewind. What's the last week and a half been like, the last several days, I should say, in Kansas City been like after the loss, as far as the fans are concerned and how people are feeling?
Yeah, I think everyone's a little shell-shocked. I think a little bit like the team, because I was down in New Orleans as well. I just think so much, and you guys know this well on the unfortunate side, but just so much has continued to go Kansas City's way, and not everything, right? Like, there were a couple of years there where they were eliminated before the Super Bowl, but it had been over 1,000 days without a playoff loss. I mean, that's an incredible amount of time, and much like we're getting sick and tired of Syracuse being irrelevant, fans are just so used to everything just happening the Chiefs' way. And I think for them, it wasn't just a Super Bowl loss. It was an embarrassing effort where they didn't really even show up. This is not an unfamiliar feeling. I think that in regular seasons, there are games and weeks where all of a sudden Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, they have a dud. They had a couple near duds this year where they almost lost to teams like the Bucks and Panthers, but just found a way to gut it out. And I think maybe, as I try to reconcile that aspect of it, I feel like every year where they are able to go and do it, they have one of those duds, and it realigns them. And I don't think the loss to Buffalo qualified in a way, because it was a game until the third or fourth quarter, and Buffalo pulled away. And I think the Chiefs see them as a respectful rival, and they keep splitting all these games, of course, between the regular season and playoffs. And I think they missed that realignment game where it's like we aren't necessarily incapable of losing a big game, and we need to show up and be ready. And it created this aspect where I just had this feeling even going into the game, and maybe I should have been smarter about it when it came to my bets going into the game. But it just, there was this feeling that Kansas City's just going to figure out a way. And it just wasn't good enough with a complete football team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who are good on both sides of the ball and were ready to remind me of Mike Tyson, just hit you in the mouth and see if you could respond. And Kansas City couldn't. And I think it has shocked a lot of people with just how bad it went.
Yeah, I mean, there was this feeling all year nationally. I know here in Buffalo, we would have the conversation every week, and you've heard it, right? The Chiefs just keep getting lucky, and they're all these things are happening at the end of games. But then you'd hear Chiefs fans, and I think in a lot of ways, rightfully so, say, well, good thing teams find a way to win. Like, Andy Reid's teams have traditionally always been able to just figure out a way at the end. He's a great coach, and obviously Patrick Mahomes is very clutch. I mean, did you have that sense all year that they're just living too much on the edge and just things at some point this could happen and then all of a sudden it just came down like an avalanche?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and football injuries are a part of the game. I think a lot of it came to having to operate on the fly. Even coming into the year, to me, with all the contracts that are coming up, they have 20-plus free agents and, acquiring DeAndre Hopkins, and you think about some of the big names that they might be losing, like a Trey Smith or a Nick Bolton or Justin Reed. It felt a little bit like, for this era of Patrick Mahomes, it was last dance. No matter what, you're probably looking at what I consider to be like a soft reset, a soft rebuild for 2025. But they went all in on this year, and I think the Rashee Rice injury really hurt. And it's amazing to me that they were able to get a franchise record 15 wins without him, because I think the whole plan going in was to shift this focus, which had been the case for like 10 years now, of we're going to center our offense around Travis Kelce, and we're this year it's going to be Rashee Rice. You know, and I know there were all those question marks about the off-the-field stuff, whether or not he would get suspended. And it seemed like they were in the clear that he wasn't going to get suspended until the next year, you know, and I think that Kansas City was going to prepare for that going into 25. And he looked fantastic. I mean, he was among the league leaders in receivers through the four games. And he had that freak injury, and that was just like the start of their woes. I mean, they had lost Isaiah Pacheco a few games before, but running backs are running backs. But you talk about losing a Jalen Watson, to me, was a key injury because their depth wasn't as strong in the defensive backs room. You weren't getting Hollywood Brown, who you thought would be like your third or second receiver in that. Xavier Worthy needed time to develop and so on and so forth. And, you know, you think about all those things, and it kind of ruined the plan, and it was a tough pivot. I mean, I think now looking back, kudos to Kansas City for getting all the way to the Super Bowl when the player I think they really wanted to build their offense around was done in week four. So, you know, it's tough. I think they really tried to make some decisions this year that maybe or was out of character for them. You know, the GM, Brett Veach, one of the things he preaches is, you know, we always want to be flexible. And they sacrificed a little bit of that flexibility in the next couple of years because they really wanted to make the three-peat happen. It was your one chance in NFL history. A move that stood out that was a little atypical, and granted, you understand it for this caliber of player, but Chris Jones to that massive long-term deal, teetering around 30, has been very atypical of the Chiefs. And you know, you might say, well, that's Chris Jones. Well, I think there's a case to be made that when the Chiefs just walked away from Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he was playing the best ball of his NFL career. And so they went for it, and it, you know, it came this close. But that ultimate dud in the Super Bowl kind of ruins all those efforts, which is tough. I mean, that's something I've been telling fans that it's a tough thing to swallow. And I know no one in Buffalo is going to feel bad for them. Trust me, I understand. But it's like they went after it, and you probably are not going to get another shot at this. I mean, I think a lot of fans were happy they went all in, but now what does that mean for the future?
Yeah, and listen, I'll for one, I always gave him credit for it. Like, you did have a chance to do something no team has ever done in the history of this league, and why not do it when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, no doubt about it. Now, Travis Kelce did wind up being, I guess, statistically still the focal point of the offense, you know, and they did it a few different ways. 97 catches, 823 yards, but it clearly, you could see, not the same player he's been. Now a lot is hanging over his possible future. He's going on podcasts. He's talking with his brother. Where do you think this goes? Do you think he's a member of the Chiefs in 2025? How does all this go down?
Yeah, he's a big team guy. I think the comments to me yesterday revealed to me, and maybe not even revealed, maybe it's more confirmed, because I had this inkling going into the game. But it kind of confirmed to me that if the Chiefs were able to do it, he was done. I mean, I think he wanted to be done. I think you saw that in some of the body language after the game. I mean, everyone was down. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you could tell that he was down and, like, bothered by it. Because in covering him, I've covered him his whole career. I got here in 14, so pretty much at the same time that he came onto the scene. He is, like, a competitive madman, you know, for all the you know, quips and stuff that gets said to him now that he's like dating Taylor Swift and trying to develop acting. And you mentioned the podcast. I mean, on the field, he is someone who just wants to be there for his team and in times will his team to win. And so this is like the perfect nightmare scenario for Travis Kelce, because I think he's seeing what he left on the football field, cannot be happy about it, both from an individual and a team standpoint. And he's saying to himself, I'd imagine, do I want to go out like this? But the problem with quote unquote not going out like this is, you know, 6 weeks of training camp at a college, a small college in North Kansas City, an Andy Reid training camp, which is among the grueling in the league, 18 more games, 18, you know, more chances for your body to deteriorate because you're already feeling like you're a step slower, 3 to 4 playoff games, and all of that for maybe getting another shot, because again, I think the Chiefs are going into like what will be a soft reset year. And you have teams like the Bills and the Ravens and you know, one of these years the Chiefs are not going to go to the Super Bowl, and that is looking to me like next year might be the best chance for that. And so I think he's trying to process all of that and wondering if it's worth it. And so I think that's what you're getting. Like, everyone's looking for an answer from people that are on the beat. And I really think he doesn't know. But if I had to go one way or the other based on, you know, all the things that I just said, I tend to think he'll call it here. You know, and it's unfortunate for him. I think he really wanted to have the team win this game and really felt like he was able to go out doing something, you know, as an exclamation point that no team had ever done.
As we're talking here, very oddly, the New York Jets have just tweeted out from their own Twitter account, "We have informed Aaron Rodgers that we will be moving in a different direction at quarterback." I don't think I've ever seen a team do that before. That's a little weird. Isn't that weird?
That is odd.
That's kind of weird.
A little bit. I feel like the Jets are an odd team with media interacting just in general. And I imagine they're trying to get ahead of Aaron Rodgers and whatever he's going to say in his own right. I mean, that'd be my only guess. But good to have that team in your division. Everybody listening.
Yeah.
That is a terrible organization right now, for sure.
We'll see where they go with Aaron Glenn as head coach. Pete Sweeney joining me here on the Western Hotline. Real good discussion on the Chiefs. Okay, well, look, in Buffalo, a lot of people thought 2024 was their reset year. And look what happened. They got all the way to the AFC Championship game, you know, even despite some of the changes and the mass exodus they had. It reminded me of the Chiefs a few years ago when they actually kind of did the same thing and Tyreek Hill was gone and then they had their defense step up. But now you do have some other players that you have to make decisions on. What you mentioned, some of them: Justin Reed, Nick Bolton. Like, where are the real big questions, and what winds up happening here? Give us a couple of the big time guys that they're faced with question marks.
Well, I think I think the organization would ideally like to keep Trey Smith if they could, but I just think with all the positions and spots that they have to address, I just don't think it's going to be possible, because I think there's a lot of teams that want him to shore up their offensive line. And when you're signing your first contract in the NFL, remember, he was a sixth rounder, because if you remember in the draft process, he had like heart palpitations or something, and it made him fall all the way to the sixth round, and the Chiefs got him there. And you know, as it played out, that thing that dinged him from a first or second rounder was never an issue. And so now he has a chance, after making $5 million throughout his career, to really have a payday. So I don't think anyone's going to blame him here in Kansas City if he goes and chases that, but I think it's going to price him out. I think the other two players the Chiefs are interested in potentially keeping are Nick Bolton, who has been the green dot guy for them. I think that's going to be expensive too, when you think about franchise tag and so on and so forth. But I think that could reasonably be more affordable, because Bolton has faced some injuries, and I don't think his production has necessarily been there, you know, where he would want in a contract year. I wonder if that could be a 1-year, 2-year deal where he, you know, he really tries to stay healthy and then hits the market again, or they come together and get something fair in front of him, and he's happy with it, and you know, they continue on. I think the Hollywood Brown is back for another 1 year, like that one thing I was just talking about, almost like a makeup 1-year deal where he'll serve the Chiefs as their third receiver. You know, I think Malcolm Brown as a third receiver is pretty good, but you're still talking about, you know, you're losing Smith, like I just described. I think they move on from Justin Reed with eyes on elevating Brian Cook and Jaden Hicks to that role, who are good players, good young players, but again, not as established, not as experienced as Justin Reed. I think the offensive line is a mess. I think a lot of people look at Kansas City and they're like, well, why didn't they get a left tackle? Well, I mean, you're picking 28 to 32 for years and years and years. This is what is by design in the NFL. I mean, you're supposed to have the best teams draw weaknesses, you know, and I think at a certain point, these guys that they're interested in the first round, okay, no doubt day one left tackle on Amarius Mims and Anton Harrison. They just get picked before the Chiefs are even up, and the free agency hasn't necessarily been good. I know that Ronnie Staley might be out there. But again, I think it's a lot of problems with not necessarily like slam dunk solutions, and the cap is there because they want parity in NFL. The draft order is there for that reason, and I think you're kind of seeing it entering this offseason. But as you know, just one caveat or rebuttal in this, and it was to your point about the Buffalo Bills. When you have a quarterback that's top five in the NFL, it may not matter as much. I think Pat Mahomes has to reinvent himself a little bit by working a little bit more in the intermediate. But this guy is like Allen. You know, they're friends off the field. They're gung-ho about their craft and reestablishing themselves and so on and so forth. So I expect Mahomes to be better in 25 than he was in 24. But at the same time, there are a lot of question marks that the Chiefs have to figure out.
The one area it did matter for him, though, was getting beat up and sacked on the offensive line, the protection. And we saw that, obviously, in the Super Bowl. And while the Bills couldn't get to him, and they just don't seem to be able to in the playoffs, the Eagles obviously did. But you just said something really interesting, which is, hey, look, I mean, the resources might not be there, but boy, isn't that where they have to kind of concentrate their resources to make sure they can keep Patrick Mahomes upright? And if they do that, that's taking away from adding to other parts of the team.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, I think they drafted Kingsley Suamataia, who was a mess at left tackle, and they had to replace him. But word is that they like him as a guard. So maybe he slides into right guard, and now you're just looking at left tackle. You got your right guard now on a rookie deal. Hopefully that works out. I mean, it'll be a position switch, but he seems to be in good standing with the Chiefs when it comes to being a guard. And then you may have to say goodbye to a Nick Bolton and lean into Drew Tranquil as your green dot, who did it last year for a series of games while Bolton was injured, and play a little bit more of Leo Chanel, who's become a really good player for Kansas City. And like, you take that money and you give it to a guy, that you need to shore up that position. And you know, sometimes you just need to spend the money elsewhere, and you go and do it. It's just, you know, when you talk about what's out there, it's just not a scenario where left tackles that are going to be your solution come up often. And I think the philosophical problem for Kansas City right now is, well, they're to a point, you know, you can make a case, well, they're to a point where they need to trade up and go get a left tackle. Okay, you do that. What are you sending? I mean, they're picking at 31. So you're sending a first this year, or 31, maybe your first next year, maybe a third. The problem is they have so many things to address in terms of different positions. Like we just talked about it. Tight end is suddenly a huge need. You know, the best teams in the NFL have these great tight ends. You might be without one now. Like, that's just one example of the many areas they need to spend this money. And so it's like, how could you use multiple draft picks to go address one position when you have so many needs and not a lot of money? And so it's a grand predicament. And I think in the off seasons in recent years, since this whole thing started, where they won that first Super Bowl in 2019, I find this one to be the most interesting, because I think there's a lot of problems that don't feel like they have obvious answers.
Good stuff, Pete. Really, I appreciate it, man. We'll be on the Billy Donovan watch, now that you put his name in my ear, by the way.
Yeah, please.
How do you get him?
As far and wide as you possibly could. I would appreciate that.
As much as I love Hop, by the way, and I was there, I went to school when Hop played, I think they need to go outside the family. You know what I mean? As your suggestion with Billy is, I think it's just, and as much as they love GMAC, right? I mean, it's not something you do right now, but I think you got to go outside the family for once, because I think that's kind of been the issue with Syracuse basketball after what Jim Boeheim did by staying too long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think everyone would welcome that. I really do. I think it's at a point where sometimes, in a sense, you got to break tradition. I mean, they already did that with the zone, you know, to an extent, and I think that would be welcomed. I mentioned Hopkins because, I mean, it's just a Syracuse way to not go outside of the family. So
that's right.
You're having to keep it in. I would. I'd like to see Hopkins get a shot, but yeah, I'm all for it. I think change is necessary, and so I'm hoping we're talking about with the recruiting class, a team that's a tournament team next year.
All right, make sure Soren buys you dinner next time you're on, okay? Just make sure tell him I told you that, all right? All right, buddy. Pete, right, thanks. Well, this was really good. I hope to do it again sometime soon, okay?
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. That is Pete Sweeney, and he is covering the Kansas City Chiefs, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. You can follow him, and you can find him, Sports Radio 810, as well as other places, KSHB TV 41 as well. Does a great job covering them. That was a really good conversation. I enjoyed that. Very good, realistic outlook on the Kansas City Chiefs. What about another team in the AFC that has a lot of storylines, has a lot of talent, but what is happening with that talent? The Cincinnati Bengals. Our guy, Joe Goodberry, is going to join me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.